Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Welcome back to Tennis Unfiltered with me, James Gray of iNews.co.uk and the iNewspaper. I've got George Belshaw with me here for a special podcast previewing the French Open. We had the draw yesterday lunchtime. I was lucky enough to be covering it from the Eurostar because usually it is in the evening. So I booked a lunchtime Eurostar, and of course the French then moved the draw to lunchtime. But anyway, George, how did you take in the draw? Were you actually doing some work for once?
Yeah, I am. I'll be totally honest, James. I only saw it this morning, so
okay.
I was that absorbed in my work and then absorbed in activities outside of work.
So, I mean, our UK listeners will be glad to hear that because they pay your salary and will be glad to know that you do actually do some work occasionally. So I think that's overall a positive. We will have Calvin with us later in the week and during the French Open. He is en route to Paris, I think, pretty much as we speak. So he was pestering me about when the doubles draw is, inevitably, which I believe is on Sunday, for those of you who are really interested in that sort of thing. Calvin obviously has a vested interest in the doubles draw this year. But we're going to look at the singles draw. We'll go through it line by line, meticulously, as we always do, and see if we can draw out a few bits of insight, as well as maybe looking at your potential fantasy brackets and seeing where the opportunities for fantasy picks might come. I will set that up. We're recording this on Friday, so hopefully by Friday evening you'll have the opportunity to join, and then you've got until Sunday morning UK time to get your teams in. But I'll put a link in the show notes as per usual. But no further ado, let's start off with the women's draw, I think. At the very top of it, if you're watching on YouTube, then you'll be able to see all of this, which is terribly exciting. And means that I can't make the usual rude hand gestures at George. But if you're just listening, I'll make sure that we guide you through it as we always do. But if you want to see us on YouTube, it's Tennis Unfiltered, straightforwardly. And please do hit like and subscribe and all those other things that YouTubers who are much younger than me tend to say. Let's start at the very top with Iga Świątek, the top seed, George. In terms of a section, her passage to the fourth round shouldn't be hugely complicated, but I think probably once she gets to the fourth round, assuming she does, I think that's when it might get quite tricky, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the big cloud hanging over Świątek is this injury, which, you know, on paper the first three rounds look pretty comfortable, and you wouldn't expect any problems, but we don't know exactly what her physical status is, so that's a kind of huge caveat to that. But yeah, I mean, the fourth round looks very tasty on paper. I mean, Krejcikova at the start of the clay season was someone who was making a lot of noise about, oh yes, I'm the I'm part of the big four, never mind the big three of Sabalenka, Rybakina's film.
She said all of that, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, she came in with a lot of confidence and something to prove, and it hasn't quite happened just yet, but she's a good clay court player. She's won this tournament before. We'll see where she's at, and, you know, knowing Swiatek's injured, I think she'll want to give her a go. But Krejcikova, there's some tough matches in there as well. I mean, Azarenka and Andreescu's a cracking first round. Yeah, I was going through the draw this morning, and there's a few brilliant women's first round matches. I'd say a lot more so than the men, really. And that is definitely one of them. I'll be trying to, if it falls during work hours, be trying to slyly have on in the background, James.
Well, the thing is, though, like, yeah, on paper, you know, obviously Azarenka, multiple Grand Slam champion, Andreescu, you know, we all know about Andreescu, but she has played about 6 clay court matches in her entire career. Like, she, I mean, and I know, funnily enough, I was talking to someone about this the other day, and I think in the women's game, clay is less of a factor, if that makes sense. Like, it, for whatever reason, it seems like there is less of a delta between, like, hard court tennis in the women's game and clay court tennis. So I maybe it matters less for Andreescu than it might for, say, Jack Draper. But even so, I'm kind of sceptical that it's a good, 2 good names, but I'm just wondering whether it might actually be worth it. If we get Azarenka versus Krejcikova in the third round, how do you see that going?
But I mean, I'd back Krejcikova, really. I think she wins that section. I'd be quite surprised if we didn't get Krejcikova v. Swiatek in this section. And I think that, yeah, I'm reserving judgment on what I think of Swiatek till I see her kind of step out there. I mean, she's the obvious fantasy pick in some perspectives, but actually, I don't know, it feels like Sabalenka might be your kind of safer bet to take you to the final, because I think I'm right in saying Rybakina's in the same half as Swiatek. Yeah,
exactly. Just in case people think we're dismissing her first and second round opponents too quickly, last time she played Kristina Buxer, she beat her 6-love, 6-1, and that was, I think, at the Australian Open this year. And last time she played Claire Liu, who is her projected second round opponent, she beat her 6-love, 6-1, and that was at India Wells earlier this year. So I think we're quite right. To no time, George, for Marie Buzkova. I know you've previously had some Buzkova love.
Yeah, you know, she's one of the many very solid Czech female players kicking around. So I'm certainly not dismissing her. I mean, look, you know, you're right. You're right to pull up that kind of head to head, James, there with kind of Buzka and Liu, but we really don't know the physical condition of Swiatek. So I would really adopt a note of caution if you're thinking she's the clear pick in fantasy, because she is the clear pick from the perspective of she's got the best clay court winning percentage of any female player by a mile. You know, we're close to about 15% of active players, but it's always a risk picking someone you're not sure about. And this injury was so fresh, and you know, she'll get to the starting line, I'm sure, but you know, that worries me a lot, really.
I love how much doubt you're sowing here, George. This is excellent, excellent.
I will definitely be picking her just to, like, but I'm trying to convince the listeners not to.
I see. Okay, very good. Right, let's move on to the next section, which features the likes of Coco Gauff, Madison Keys, Veronika Kudermetova, and Angelina Kalinina. I should say, George, that, like, quietly, this is actually a really tough section, because when you look at all of those seeded players, they all have, like, quite significant records on clay. Kudermetova has obviously had a pretty good clay court season and is arguably a clay courter. Madison Keys, I think, has got a pretty consistent record at Roland Garros of getting through the rounds. Kalinina obviously got to the final in Rome. Again, we don't know how fit she is. And then obviously Coco Gauff, who is a French Open finalist. So I think it's actually very hard to pick someone to come out of this. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I think there's some really good first round draws here as well. I mean, Anna Karolina Shmidlova is someone, if you're a very, very early listener of the pod, you'll know I would always pick her as a kind of French Open dark horse to come through the first couple of rounds. So I think that's a tough draw for Goodman's over. You know, Kaya Kanepi is always a nightmare draw.
The classic tough draw that is Kaya Kanepi.
She's the Jan Lennard Struff of the women's game. You don't want that draw in the first round. You know, Diane Parry, I think I'm right in saying she beat Krejcikova last year.
Yeah,
right?
But it was a bit injured.
There is something about French player in the first round that is not a draw you want. It's really quite raucous in those sort of matches. So, I mean, look, if this was a year ago, I would be handily backing Goff to come through this section, but she's not quite been up to scratch, really, this year. I think I am still minded to back her to come through, and I think she might get a couple of favours from, like, Kanepi or Schmidlova to potentially give her a path to the quarterfinals. So, yeah, I will stick with Goff, but it's, as you say, it's not said with any confidence. I think this is a really, really difficult section to comprehensively say, yes, I'm sure with them. But then this is the women's game, and there's very few sections I sit there and think, oh, yeah, she'll hands down win this. So
I can't wait for, like, Alison Risk Armitage to emerge out of this. Yeah. Like, someone we're just not even considering.
Well, the draw I've got in front of me doesn't have the qualifiers in either, so...
No, well, because we're recording this on Friday and qualifying is still ongoing, we're without qualifiers placed and lucky losers, in fact, because there are a couple of them after, I think, Ila Tomljanovic is a late pull-out, and Paola Badosa as well, who's got a stress fracture, in case you missed that, which I actually, funnily enough, people will know on Twitter, I did my power rankings this week, and Badosa was one of those who was bumped quite far up the power rankings in comparison to her her world ranking, because clay-wise, she is a good player. But then we know Paola Badosa this time. Let's move on to the next section, which is where we find Elena Rybakina, along with Shelby Rogers, Ekaterina Alexandrova, Beatrice Haddad-Meyer, a few names in the unseeded players who people will be excited about as well. Linda Noskova, for example, is a French Open champ, junior French Open champion, I think I'm right in saying. Schneider as well, the Russian, has shown some quite interesting form. George, Rybakina walks this, does she?
I think so. I think this is
as confident
one of the
as
sections,
you can be in the WTA.
Yeah, this is one of the sections I'm looking at and thinking I would phone back. I mean, you mentioned there's a few names in there. I mean, Cerebez Tormo has got some play pedigree and is known for kind of making matches quite tough and long. I think she, a couple of seasons ago, maybe had three of the top five longest matches in the WTA. But she was involved in terms of time. So, you know, there's players in there who can make it tricky. But yeah, I mean, to be honest, I mean, we're in a good place in the women's game that you're looking at a couple of players and thinking, yeah, they're going to come through this, which I've not really felt over the last 3 years. But if Rybakina, Sabalenka, and a fit Swiatek, they're the sort of players I'm actually fairly confident come through their brackets without problem, which now means Rybakina's going to lose to a qualifier in the first round. I've said that.
Yeah, quite possibly. I think Linda Noskova, who I also remember played Raducanu here last year and played very well in some quite grim conditions. I think she could be a bit of a challenge. Mm. It would be a match worth watching in the second round anyway, put it that way. Let's move on to section four. Ons Jabeur is in here, Sorana Kostea, Donna Vekic, Petra Kvitova, Annette Kontaveit as well, Jasmine Paolini, who some people will be looking out for, Ocean Dodin, who's a direct entry, I think, for the first time, certainly at the French Open, who's someone I'm quite excited about, but only quietly. I've really struggled with this section, George. I'm not sure I can trust anyone.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's going to be a Jabeur Kvitova fourth round would be what I'd be putting my eggs if I had a basket.
I mean, not to take your basket away, George, but like, but I'm not sure how much I trust Ons Jabeur at Grand Slams anymore, because Shalita like losing the first. You have to remember that I'm still stung from last year when Ons Jabeur was out of the French Open before I arrived in Paris. She lost while I was on the Eurostar on the Sunday morning. And I appreciate that she's since then been in two Grand Slam finals. Is that right? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that not right? Wimbledon final and then US Open final? Have I made that up?
Oh, yeah, yeah, you are right. Correct you.
I appreciate that US Open final was a bit of a, underwhelming, but you should remember that it existed, George. But you're pretty confident that she comes through and just does the job.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm never 100% confident. I think they're two players who are very capable on the surface, and the other players in there, I'm not looking at them thinking, oh, it's a serious banana skin in terms of form or quality. So, yeah, I think I'd be surprised if Jabeur didn't get there.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a guaranteed French player in the second round here as well, yes, which will keep the home crowd interested.
I love that when the flag goes through, and I love that we've also got a qualifier / lucky loser in this section as well.
Yeah, so, I'm sure depending on who gets placed there, there'll be a lot of people.
A popular fantasy moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Right, let's move into the bottom half of the draw for the first time. Sakari, Begu, Linetti, I should say. And Bencic, Léolia Jeanjean as well, sort of child prodigy here in France, who made a good run here last year to some excitement. She's got a half-decent draw with another wild card, the reciprocal Australian wild card between the French Open and the Australian. Jill Teichmann in here as well, who I know some people will be excited about. And George, Maria Sakkari up against Karolina Mukova in the first round. That's a proper nightmare draw.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the first rounders of had my eye on. This section is bloody impossible to call. I would not place any confidence in any one of these women kind of driving to the fourth round. And to be perfectly honest, a lot of the first rounds I'm looking at like, oh god, that feels really, really tight and close. So I hope you're not expecting a very confident prediction on this one. I mean,
I'd never expect a confident prediction from you, George. I've known you long enough.
Yeah. Podoroska's, you know, she's had four, I think, semi-finals here before, or at least quarters anyway.
Quarters,
So, you know, there's some players in here. I like Begu on clay. Linetti's done well in the past. You know, Fernandez is a bit out of form, but that is a Grand Slam finalist kicking around here as well.
Do you want to know something that is weirdly kind of symmetrical? If Leila Fernandez, I saw Stu Fraser write a piece about this, if Leila Fernandez loses to Magda Linetti, she too will drop outside the top 100. If in fact she loses to Linetti, which is not unlike, you know,
very possible. Yeah,
she's played some really good tennis in Australia. She obviously beat Jabeur in the first round here last year. She's sort of the ultimate. She's the new, you could say, Kaya Kanepi. And yeah, I think clay probably doesn't suit her terribly. But that, I think that's a really tricky section, because then, you know, Aleksandra Sasnovich is no mug. Belinda Bencic, I think, is a pretty handy player as well. I mean, I know that's not controversial. She's the number 12 seed. But right, you've got to pick a name out of this section, George. Who is it?
I might go for Begu, actually. I don't know why.
Begu.
Just drawing it to me.
I like it.
What about you? I need to put you on the spot a little bit as well, rather than my
I think
position.
Linetti. I think she's quite sticky. I'm not quite... I haven't seen a lot of her name over the clay court season, so maybe she's lost her last seven matches and it's a completely insane shout. But she dealt with the pressure really well in Australia. Like, I think that's such a big part of Grand Slams, is just being able to turn up and, you know, deal with the... Do you remember Swiatek said it last week about talking about the two-week slams, her two-week masters, Freudian slip there. And she said, you know, days off between matches aren't days off. Like, I'm still working, I'm still thinking, I'm still stressing. And you often talk, George, about how in Grand Slams you get that extra day off, but it isn't a day off. I think it's an extra day just to kind of stress and lose mental energy. And I think Magda seems really capable of doing that. Like, I got chatting to her coach in Australia a fair bit, and you know, he was talking about just how level-headed she is these days and how it's taken her a bit of a while to get there, but she does have this real ability to kind of deal with it. So there you go. I've justified my Magda Linetti pick. Let's move forward. Section 6 in the bottom half. Samsonova, Potapova, Mertens and Pegula, who obviously is the number 3 seed. She's the only player in the top 8, George, who has never made a Grand Slam semi-final. She's never won a quarterfinal. Is this the opportunity for her to, given how relatively weak Section 5 is this her opportunity to make it through to a semi-final?
I don't know. I think there's some quite big banana skins here. I mean, Danielle Collins is a Grand Slam semi-finalist first round. You know, that's not a nice draw. Elise Cornet, potentially second round. I wouldn't want to be playing Cornet in Paris.
I mean, you never want to play Cornet in any circumstances, yeah. Really. She loves upsetting the apple cart.
Yeah. Mertens is, you know, someone who's been to a few deep in Grand Slams, think semi-finalists of Australia, possibly. I don't know. It doesn't look, you're not looking at all these names. It's probably more indicative of the women's game as a whole that you're kind of able to make a case for about 5 or 6 of them in every bracket as who you think might come through. And even then, you're probably missing another 5 or 6 who actually will come through. It's not terrible for Pegula, but I do think there's enough there that I wouldn't be rushing to say with conviction. I think she'll definitely come through.
I'd be interested to see how Anastasia Potapova goes in this section. I think she's just been on a very good gradient of late, and I think has a real chance of maybe demonstrating something. She'll qualify in the first round. Lyudmila Samsonova is absolutely all over the place at the moment. You know, she's her potential third round. If she can play herself into the tournament, I think, you know, she's not had very good draws over the clay court. She's run into Kudermetova, her doubles partner and fellow Russian, on several occasions. And I think if she hadn't, she would have done a little bit of damage. And I know Calvin thinks highly of her tennis, so that would be maybe not my pick, but I think Potapova Pegula in the fourth round would be very interesting. Let's move forward again.
I'm struggling to give you a name here, James, to be honest.
I know. I'm actually not going to put you on the spot for once.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
Let's go into Section 7 so that we can keep making some progress. Garcia, Trevisan, Ostapenko, Kasatkina. I think this is possibly the second hardest section of the entire draw, because you've also got Vondrousova in there, Svitolina. Even Siniakova as well can be a bit of a handful and knows her way around Grand Slams. I'm tempted to pick up Yelena Ostapenko here, George.
She can definitely come through this section. Ostapenko is always just such a hard pick for me. I mean, I've backed her in a few slams before where she's treated me very kindly in fantasy tennis, and I've backed her in others where she's been a dreadful pick. It's hard to know what you're going to get, but yeah, you're right. I mean, this looks a pretty good section. We spoke about Garcia's kind of crisis of confidence the other week. I mean, Trevor Sands, a player who can definitely play well on clay and has done well.
Trevisan, I can tell you, my model really likes. My model is a big fan of Martina Trevisan on clay.
But I've got a feeling she had. Yeah, I think she pulled out of kind of the Morocco Open with a walkover. I'm not 100% sure exactly what was going on there. So it's not. Again, it's another one of these sections where I'm just like, oh God. So yeah, I'd probably agree with you on this one, actually. Ostapenko is the one that's jumping out, but Kasatkina is another one. I mean, they can play on clay. They're a good player, but you just don't know exactly what you're going to get, really.
Daria Kasatkina has a losing one and love to an absolute no name right up her street. In fact, that would be my huge kind of misgiving with picking her. She also played Ostapenko in Rome and lost to her in three sets, admittedly, but 6-love in the third, which doesn't fill me with confidence, I'm afraid. Mm. So I might have to... I usually like picking Daria Kasatkina, but I'm just worried that she's such a high-risk option. To say that Yelena Ostapenko is not the high-risk option...
Yeah, I was going to say. But...
I'm just going to have to shut a blind, George. It's so lovely and sunny in Paris that the marble floor is reflecting the sun. So I'm going to have to make a horrible noise there. And just dim my face. There we go. And because this is a special podcast, I won't even edit that out, so people get the full experience of podcasting with me. Right, we'll go into the final section. Section 8, Karolina Pliskova, Tseng Xin Wen, Zhang Shuai, and Arina Sabalenka. I'll tell you what, George, I don't hate Arina Sabalenka's draw, but the first round against Marta Kostyuk, who's basically the highest-ranked unseeded player, and also... for want of a better phrase, hates Arina Sabalenka's guts. that is extremely tasty.
It is. Yeah, it's another one that you're looking at thinking, oh, that's a good first round. I mean, in years gone by, a Karolina Pliskova Sloane Stephens would be a pretty meaty first round draw as well, but possibly less so in current years. But if it was anyone but Kostyuk in the first round, I'd be really quite confident for Sabalenka here, given her form. I still am confident for her. But you just get those players who are really up for certain matches in certain kind of contexts. And that is one where Kostyuk's a good player who will be 100% bang up for that. So, yeah... I will still say I think Sabalenka's coming through that section, but that is a certain banana skin in the first round that is not one you'd want to be involved with from Sabalenka's perspective, anyway.
Hmm. Anyone else? I mean, who do you think she's going to play in the fourth round?
It's tough, isn't it?
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, probably one of Pliskova and Stevens would be my guess on paper. I'm not looking at many of these names thinking, yeah, really backing them to kind of do a quarterfinal run or anything. So, yeah, probably one of those two. But, yeah, I mean, if Sabalenka comes through the first round, I think she's a comfortable quarterfinalist. And given the kind of section above is full of players who blow very hot and cold, you don't really know who should get in that kind of quarterfinal. So I think she's a fairly safe pick for the semis if she comes through that first round for me.
Yeah, agreed.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, onwards and upwards to the men's draw, where we start at the very top with, as top seed for the very first time, Carlos Alcaraz. He has Denis Shapovalov, Lorenzo Musetti, and Cam Norrie in his section of the draw. Did any banana skins in there?
I mean, Musetti is a good clay court player. He feels to me like the one who could potentially, and I put potentially in very much kind of strong speech marks, where I'm not really giving anyone much hope, but of those, I think Musetti is possibly the one who could trouble Alcaraz the most. But no, I'm not really looking at the section as anything but Alcaraz storming to the quarterfinals, to be perfectly honest. I don't know if you have any strong views the other way, but it looks fairly comfortable to me. I mean, it's worth noting that the qualifier in the men's, there were a couple in there who are interesting. You know, it could be Aslan Karatsev potentially. You know, that's not a nice first round draw, and arguably would be the toughest of this whole section if he was to fall in Alcaraz's path. Mm. So yeah, I'm not saying it's easy, but it looks quite good to me, this for Alcaraz.
Okay, I can't really see anything going wrong for Carlos Alcaraz in this section, to be quite frank. It just looks, you know, Denis Shapovalov has barely, I don't think he's even won a match. He might have won one match on clay this year. Lorenzo Musetti, once upon a time, was a very good clay court player, and still has that ability, but I don't think has shown much since he had that collapse against Djokovic at the French Open. You know, Cam Norrie again, someone who obviously, I mean, Norrie has beaten Alcaraz on clay this year, but I think best of five in Paris is a totally different kettle of fish. And yeah, I'm struggling to see any. I think Norrie will get to the fourth round. Like, I think it's quite a good draw for him, and I think he should be a good clay court player. Like, his game should suit it. But and he's you don't think so, George?
I'd probably back Musetti rather than Norrie, actually, to get to the fourth. He's had a couple of decent results on clay this year. I think maybe semis in Barcelona, a couple of quarters as well. I'd probably lean towards Musetti given his enjoyment of the surface. But yeah, there's not much in it. I think that'd be a good, certainly be an interesting third round tie if we got that.
Okay. Let's move on to the second section. Felix Auger-Aliassime, Sebastian Korda, Bernabé Zapata-Morales, and Stefanos Tsitsipas. Again, this is one of those ones I look at it and go, all of these players could do something here. You know, all have got a reason to be. You know, and Diego Schwartzman's in there as well, by the way.
Yeah. Isner as well has had some random results on clay over the years. I mean, he's probably past his best days, but, you know, not.
Yeah.
Still, it's Tsitsipas for me, I think. Or certainly, I think a Tsitsipas and Auger-Aliassime fourth round would be pretty tasty. And that's probably what I'd expect here. You know, we've spoken a bit about Tsitsipas this year, about where exactly he's at. But his clay results have been fairly consistently good.
Yeah, he got to that final,
exceptional,
didn't he?
So, yeah, I still think clay's where he is most likely to do damage.
I'm pretty convinced that, like, he'll put away lesser players. I don't usually feel that about Tsitsipas, but on clay, I think he probably will. I mean, look, he might lose to Yuri Vesely first round.
It's not an easy draw.
No, and it's a non-zero chance. Like, it's very significantly non-zero that he loses to Vesely in the first round. So, and I don't think, if he gets either Schwartzman, well, I think Schwartzman wouldn't be a fun draw for him either. Just someone a bit scrappy who's going to make a lot of balls. And
Yeah, there's a lot of matches in there. You're thinking Tsitsipas could have a fair amount of time on the body clock if he's going into the quarterfinals. But
yeah, he could get to the quarterfinals. He could get to the quarters having played like a good 15, 16, 17 sets. That's not beyond the run's possibility.
He'll be a bit disappointed to be in this half of the draw, to be honest, Tsitsipas, because I think if he was in the other half, he'd fancy his chances of getting to the final, whereas it's a likely Alcaraz quarterfinal, a likely Djokovic semi-final. It's hard to make a strong case for him, whereas I think I'm right in saying like Holger Rune has kind of landed.
It's Holger Rune, George. The E is silent.
I thought it was the other way around. I thought we were told this week on Twitter I put the E on purpose.
No, I believe, and I'll check.
I thought it was Rune. I've been calling him Rune the whole time. I thought someone tweeted us saying, put the E on.
Now we're going to get it wrong no matter what, aren't we? Never mind.
Yeah.
We'll just call him Holger. There you go.
I've been calling him Rune the whole time, but I've got a feeling they said Rune. Anyway. he's landed in a better section for me that makes me more confident for him, but that could easily have been Tsitsipas, I suppose.
Okay, very good. Right, into Novak Djokovic's section, which is section 3 of the draw. Davidovic Fokina is in there. Batista Agutazar, Hubert Hurkacz, all of whom are decent clay court players. And I don't know about you, George, but I think that makes absolutely naff all difference.
Yeah, I'll be quite surprised if Djokovic is not in the quarterfinal from this section. That's no particular slight on everyone. I mean, look, there's hope, isn't there? And Djokovic isn't at his freshest and best, but, you know, it still took Holger Rune or Rune to take him out in 3 sets in Rome. And I think, yeah, his motivation will be pretty high here, being Raffaele's. And he knows he's probably, I'm guessing, one of 2 men in the draw who's won this title. Is that right with Wawrinka?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I suppose it must be true. Yeah, I mean, yeah, but generally it's really only be one bloke. You're right. I mean, I just, obviously, you know, Kovacevic, Fuksevic, nothing there. Davidovich Fokina has beaten Djokovic, but it was in Monte Carlo 2022, and it was like he was still in this kind of post-Melbourne funk.
We'll never forget the Cecenato Djokovic French Open shock as well.
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't
see that happening again, but you know, that was one of the all-time French Open shocks, really.
And then Hubert Hurkacz is a guy who I think, you know, probably should be quite good on clay, but obviously doesn't get the benefit of that enormous serve in the same way. Although I do think there is definitely a tipping point where, like, if you're a really, really big server and have certain skills in the serving department, you can play well on clay because you get advantage on serve that other people don't, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like, your serve is good enough that it overcomes the surface and you can hit spots in a certain way that, you know, like Zverev, for example, he's not someone you would think would benefit from clay, but does. And I think that's partly because he's skilled with the serve as well as absolutely huge. But I don't think Hurkacz seems to have that yet. Maybe that's just time. But he should have played a lot on clay, and I don't know. Batista Agut in the third round isn't a lot of fun. Don't underestimate Wu Yibing, by the way. Like, don't write off him causing a shock, I think. And who knows, maybe even further. And similarly, JP Verias, like, he very nearly beat Felix last year.
Yeah, I'm really not speaking in great confidence for anyone outside of Djokovic in this section per match.
I've done my best to suggest there might be someone interesting in the fourth round, but maybe that's maybe we don't need any more. Into section 4, which will produce Novak Djokovic's likely quarterfinal opponent. 2 Russians in here, Rublev and Khachanov. We've also got Dan Evans and Ben Shelton, who's playing the French Open for the first time. I think we're expecting a Khachanov-Rublev fourth round here, aren't we?
Yeah, on paper. There's still a few. Again, I mean, there's still a few people in here who I wouldn't. They're the sort of names you wouldn't want to land in a clay court draw. I mean,
yeah,
Laszlo Djere being one. I mean, that's not...
Ah, yes, the ultimate clay courter, Laszlo Djere.
Not an ideal first round. I mean, Ramos Vinolas has
had some good results on clay in the past. That's quite an interesting first round with Wawrinka. Yeah, I mean, look, I'd probably be taking Rublev still to get to the quarterfinals. I think we've said about Rublev in the past that, broadly speaking, he feels to have mastered the field, if not the best. So he feels like a relatively safe pick. But as someone who, I don't know, I also have real trepidation when someone hits a milestone like winning a Masters for the first time on a surface and you think, okay, that's them being set up for a good Grand Slam. Quite often ends up being the other way around and they go out first round, and Laszlo Djere is definitely enough of a banana skin to not fill me with confidence. But yeah, I would be edging towards Rublev in this section.
Yeah, it's a French heavy section as well. He's got a lot of, there are a lot of opportunities for him to be on a big court and with a rowdy crowd trying to break him down mentally.
Yeah, it's nice to see two French flags kicking. I mean, just reflecting on the top half as a whole, James, I mean, it feels very much we're all going to be thinking about the semi-final, which is Djokovic Alcaraz.
All the interesting sort of, you know, five versus six matchups are in the bottom half. Like, I would agree that this is pretty much us waiting for Djokovic to play Alcaraz in the semi-finals, which... what's the US Open where we were supposed to get Federer and Nadal and someone ruined it? Was it Del Potro? He certainly ruined at least
He definitely ruined the one in 2009 or whatever.
Calvin, in his absence, we should say, is very angry about us saying that Del Potro ruined anything. I know that he would say that.
Yeah, quite. But there were two times, yeah, you're right, there were two times in history Federer and Nadal were one match against playing each other at the US Open, which didn't happen in their entire career, which is one of those quirky, weird stats when you think about their rivalry, that they never met there, considering they've both won it multiple times. I'm trying to remember who ruined the other one. I say ruined in inverted commas, but it was definitely...
It wasn't John Millman, was it? That was Australia, wasn't it?
No, Millman was Djokovic, because you remember we had Craig O'Shaughnessy on to do a big preview in the previous version of the pod.
a match that never happened. Yeah, that was good. While we think on, just a quick word to say that Dan Evans' draw is an absolute shocker. Kokkinakis in the first round, Wawrinka or Ramos Vinolas in the second, neither of which are good matchups for him for different reasons. And then Karen Khachanov, who has an enormous game and loves a clay court, so... good luck, Dan. That's all I can say. Let's move into the bottom half where we've got Holger. I'm not going to say his surname for fear of getting it wrong without checking with one of our newer listeners, I believe, who pointed out this week that we've been mispronouncing Holger's surname, and I've managed to forget exactly how I'm supposed to do it. So next time I will check. We've got Miomir Kecmanovic in there. Probably said that wrong. I'll say this wrong too. Francisco Cerundolo and Taylor Fritz, which I think I've said right. A few others in here. Sebastian Baez, for example, is a known and recognised clay courter. Holger Rune George, and I'm going to stick with Rune, is someone we think has a real chance at going deep in this French Open. I don't know about you, but I think there's nothing in that draw which will make him think that he can't.
No, I'm quite confident for him, to be honest. I'm weirdly confident he'll reach the final, actually. That's possibly a bit of a bold shout this early into the draw, but he'll definitely be in my fantasy team, Rune.
He is. He's the number six seed, which means that he comes into the bracket between 5 and 16. So, yeah, he's strong in that section anyway, and I would probably agree with you.
Yeah, I people will say Medvedev. They'll potentially point to Sinner as well as someone who might be able to do it. I don't know. I really fancy Rune, and not just to reach the final, to potentially win the whole thing. I think he's in really good form. I think he's stepped up quite massively. You forget how
young
he is. That
record against top five players is really impressive.
Yeah, I just don't think he turns up to a Grand Slam final and thinks, I'm not going to win this. I think he's that sort of... whether you like him or not, he's a bit of a shit, but I don't think that works against him in that sort of situation. So, yeah, I like his draw. Like, you know, there's not bad players in there. I mean, Yame Munar's a decent clay courter. Taylor Fritz has had a couple of good results this year. And, you know, you don't think of him necessarily as a great clay court player, but he's done okay. Yeah, but no, I'm with you, James. I'd be hugely surprised if Runa doesn't reach the quarters at least. And, you know, I think he's on for Casper Ruud again, potentially, in the quarters, who we might not have said with confidence we think Ruud will definitely get there, but he showed a little bit of form, didn't he? Kind of in the back end of the clay.
Yeah, he's sort of starting to. He's in a section, which is the next one, with Botik van der Zandschulp, Jan-Lennard Struff, the classic, and Tommy Paul.
Dusan Lajovic as well, probably worth flagging in here.
Well, I mean, and, you know, Nicholas Jarry, Hugo Delian, Marcus... not Marcus Giron. I've just said that because his name sounds vaguely South American. Jiří Lehecka,
great runner in Australia, yeah.
Not someone I think we should be writing off, and knows his way around a clay court as well.
It's a good first round, Lehecka, Struff.
Yeah, I was basically, actually, before the draw, I was kind of going through it, and I was like, they are two people that no one wants to draw, and then they've drawn each other. So, it could be quite awkward, that. I think Botik van der Zandschulp would be a real test for Ruud in the third round. Like, he is...
I think Lajovic gets there, to be honest.
You think?
I would put Lajovic as my favourite to face Ruud in that match, yeah.
And then do you think Ruud sees him off anyway? Not convinced.
I'm not convinced. No, I'm not convinced. Lajovic is someone you just... I don't know. I don't speak with confidence about many people against him on clay. And, you know, we spoke a little bit about his record against big names recently. Very good kind of winning streak against a lot of big names, if nothing else. Even if, you know, you might say caught them at good times in their careers in some cases. Yeah, I think he'll arrive here pretty confident. That'd be a good match. I mean, a good match. I don't think it'll be the most watchable match, but it'll be a good match in terms of, I think it'll be very close. I'd still back Ruud to come through the section as a whole, but not with such strong confidence as I'd back Runa in the previous section.
Very good. Right, into what I think is the tastiest section of the men's draw. Yannick Sinner, Grigor Dimitrov, Alexander Zverev, and Francis Tiafoe. We've also got Alex Molchan, who obviously has Marion Vida as his coach. Novak Djokovic's former mentor. I would probably also mention Emil Ruusuvuori, potentially, as someone who could... I mean, and Filip Krajinovic, by the way. That's probably potentially a seed going out, I think. I also like the fact that Lloyd Harris is playing Alexander Zverev, because Lloyd Harris is sort of a different version of Alexander Zverev. He's also really tall, got a really big game, and has been through a really bad injury that he is on the way back from. I'm hoping to speak to him today, actually, so it'd be interesting to chat a little bit about that kind of comeback that he's been through.
Will you George, save some audio for the pod, James?
don't worry, George, it'll be well bagged. I really struggle here.
It's a hard section to call. I think Sinner. I do think Sinner, but...
Probably, but I think Dimitrov's a pretty nasty draw in the third round. And probably Zverev in the fourth round is not a problem, because I think he's going to run out of steam. Even if he does get there, he'll be out of steam, and he might run out in the third or second round because he just hasn't got enough under his legs. But what do you think?
Yeah, I don't think anyone with amazing confidence. Yeah, I probably do think Sinner is head and shoulders above the rest of this pack, just about. I mean, you mentioned Krajinovic there. I mean, that's someone, again, I wouldn't really want to be meeting if I was TFO. Zverev, it's just so hard to say where he is, isn't it? I mean, he's had a couple of moments in the clay season where you thought, ooh, is this the turning point? I find it hard to think a Grand Slam is going to be the turning point for him, in the sense of, does he have the
never
legs?
Has been before,
and,
yeah.
And never has been, yeah, quite. But having said that, I don't think Alexander Zverev looks at, you know, the the seven opponents he could have in the first three rounds and thinks, I don't fancy my chances here. And that's not to kind of downgrade anyone. It's, I think there's a lot of tough matches in there, but, you know, a player of his quality will fancy his chances of getting to the fourth round there. And I think there'd be something quite nice is the wrong word, but good for the men's game if we got Zverev back to a decent level.
It puts another one in there, yeah. Doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, which you know, he was playing bloody well this time last year, and you know, I wouldn't be. You know, I'm not rushing to say I think he'll reach the fourth round. I still think Sinner wins this section, but yeah, wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah, right. On to the final section of the draw, the 16th slide. We've got Borna Coric, Alex de Minaur, Yoshihito Nishioka, and of course, the new clay court god that is Daniil Medvedev. Also got very worthy of mention in here, Dominic Thiem, Jack Draper as well. We've got four Argentinians in this bottom section, which
isn't what you want.
No, if you're the Argentinian media, you're probably wringing your hands in frustration. George, as I say, Daniil Medvedev is a newly discovered lover of the clay court. I think he's probably also a lover of the Roland Garros draw ceremony now, because I think this is absolutely golden. I think this is probably the best section. I think he could have hand-picked this.
Yeah, I mean, it's so much so that I am drawn to pick him in fantasy, which feels absolutely bloody mental.
To pick him over Alcaraz or Djokovic.
Yeah, I mean, it feels slightly mad. I don't think I actually will do it, but he's... I'd be hard pushed to see him not reaching the quarters, and you know, I think Jannik Sinner's struggled to land a glove on him in the past as the guy I think will get to the quarters to face him. So, you know, then you're looking at a guaranteed semi, and from there, I probably am leaning to Holger Rune getting to the final in this half of the draw, so I'm holding with great conviction. You know, Medvedev beat Rune last week, so it's, you know, he can lose that match. I've just got a bit of a feeling for Rune in this tournament to go that far. So, but yeah, look, Medvedev, I've never bought him not being a good clay court player, to be honest. I've seen him have good matches in the past, and I've seen him.
He's basically just trolled us, hasn't he? It's just one big troll.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's a bit of a tactic to... He might not enjoy it as much as he does other surfaces, but he's still very able. Yeah, I mean, look, this is a great draw for him. I'll be interested, you know, I'm not saying I think Jack Draper will do anything particularly interesting here, but I'll be interested to see how he goes. You know, Argentinian first round, de Minaur potentially second round. I don't hate that draw for Draper. He's not fit enough, maybe, but he did win Lyon.
He won a couple of matches in Lyon, yeah, and he lost to Cherundolo, funnily enough, another Argentinian, one of the few Argentinians who isn't in his quarter. But yeah, he beat Kecmanovic and Alexandre Muller, less impressively, in Lyon. So, you know, he's obviously... Yeah, that was his first tournament in, like, six weeks.
I think he looks at this section and thinks there's not many players I'm meeting in the first couple of rounds that I don't back myself to be very, very competitive against on any surface. Do you know what I mean? Third round would be quite interesting, potentially. I mean, but team's not what he was, disappointingly.
Team Choric is a funny second round.
That'd be a nice second rounder.
Sort of two guys on the comeback, on the long road to coming back.
I wouldn't rule out Courier causing Coric problems.
Coric has played a lot of good tennis recently. I think I'm pretty reasonably happy he'll get through that. Play this back to me in 4 days' time when he loses. I think probably. Just finally then, George, your predictions for the champions, the two champions, now that we've been through the entire draw.
I don't feel good about anyone, really. I mean,
All right, I'll tell you.
I think Alcaraz. Okay. I do think Alcaraz, but I wouldn't rule out Holger Rube winning it. I wouldn't rule out Djokovic winning it. I'm less on the Medvedev bandwagon, even though I like his draw. I'm not sure he wins those big matches. And the women's, you know, Swiatek wins it if she's fully fit, but she's not. So Sabalenka, maybe? I don't know.
I'm not confident, but increasingly confident in Elena Rybakina. I think people forget, and I said this on the last pod as well, she plays well on clay. She's got a decent enough record on clay. It's going to be hot and dry here all week. The weather forecast is amazing.
Which makes a change.
Well, yeah, exactly. But it's not going to be like heavy, claggy,
That will benefit Rybakina and Sabalenka. Yeah.
Being able to hit through it. And I think probably playing Świątek in the semis and not the final will help. I think playing Świątek in the... Yeah, exactly. But assuming, I think that's an advantage, actually, to be in her section rather than having to play her in the final. I think that's actually something that she probably relish. And then, in the men's, I'm struggling to look past Alcaraz, to be perfectly honest. My power rankings have Djokovic 1 and Alcaraz 2, but...
That's presumably weighted on previous years.
Djokovic has won 26 Roland Garros matches in the last 5 years. Like, that's pretty stellar.
He is very good on clay. I mean, it's not as good as other surfaces by comparison, but he's the guy who's pushing
it. I mean, he's the second best clay court player of the 21st century, by a distance. and I'm sure there are people out there, many of whom have been in my mentions over the last 2 days, who would claim that he's the best clay court player of the 21st century and ever. But I'm not sure I agree with that. But,
I think that is a tougher case to argue, to be perfectly honest.
And I'm not going to argue it. Yeah, exactly. But I think that's probably all we've got time for, George. Thank you for dragging yourself away from a hangover to be here.
Thank you. I hope I've not offended the YouTube video viewers by not being my freshest. I could never quite tell if I look absolutely dreadful or just feel it. But
I'll be honest, George, you look as you always do. You can take that however you would like.
Sexy and champion.
I'm not sexy and champion. What a set of words. That's all we've got time for. We've been Tennis Unfiltered. I've been James Gray. He's been George Belshaw. And most importantly, please do come back next week.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Sports Social Podcast Network.